Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't God a wonderful God? He's a prayer-answering God. I can certainly attest to that concerning my wife's condition. The surgical procedure was successful. She has less pain than she's had in 2.5 to 3 years when we had that horrible accident. I can tell you that every night since that accident, up until night before last, 2 nights ago, she had to put heat on her shoulders and back to ever get any sleep. I'm talking about every night. But for the last few nights, no heat, but sleep. She slept all night, and that's very unusual. Thank you for your prayers, and thank God for all that he's done. Let's thank him right now again. Father, we're so grateful for your kindness and blessings, the good things that you have done for us, for all of us, for the many needs that you have met, and the problems that you have solved and the things that you have done in our behalf. Thank you for our great church and our people and our pastor and for this day. And I pray that you would bless the time that we have together. In the name of the Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving, amen. Now this morning I'm going to give you a lesson on prayer. In my opinion, and I've been saved for 78 years, in the ministry, as you know, for 70 years. But in my opinion, the most neglected part of the Christian life, which is the most important part, is prayer. We don't get anywhere until we prayed. It's the foundation of our Christian service. So I'm going to talk to you about prayer this morning. One of my favorite passages is Philippians chapter 4. If you'll turn there to the 4th chapter of the book of Philippians, as you're finding your place, let me remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And I'm glad that that's true today. It's still a powerful book. As I ask you to open your Bible, you know what happens when you... Somebody tell me what happens when we open the Bible. God, the Bible opens the mind of God. So we're going to see what God's thinking about in this matter of prayer. Listen to it in Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 6, remember Paul is writing from the Roman prison to the church at Philippi, and he says in verse 6, be careful, that is to be anxious, could be read, don't worry about it, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to begin the lesson this morning by asking you two or three very important and personal questions. Are you ready? How is your prayer life these days? On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself in your prayer life? We used to sing when I was growing up, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" Could you answer that question? Did you think to pray? In the name of Christ the Savior, did you sue for a loving favor as your shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life becomes dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Now, if you choose to become a prayer warrior, listen to me now, you will get God in on your program. Can I tell you, when you get God in on your program, everything changes. He turns your troubles into triumphs. He turns your problems into possibilities. He turns your heartaches into happiness. When you work. When you pray, God works. Remember that. When you work, you work. When you pray, God works. Now, you can become a prayer warrior if you choose to. And I can tell you, you'll either be a prayer warrior or a worry wart. You know what a worry wart is, don't you? It's one of those bad things that grow. No. A worry wart is a person who just worries about everything. I mean, they worry about whether or not they're going to make it today, or whether or not the sun's going to shine, or whether it'll get rain, or if I'm going to be able to keep my job, or if the family's going to be all right. Now, we're concerned about these things, but it's one thing to be concerned. It's another thing to lose yourself in worry. You'll either be a prayer warrior or a worry wart. You cannot be both. They are diametrically opposed. By the way, the word worry is not in God's vocabulary. Think about that. Now, I've entitled the lesson, On Becoming a Prayer Warrior. There are many prayer warriors in the Bible. I think about in the Old Testament, for example, Daniel was a great prayer warrior. In fact, we read in chapter 6 at verse 10 that three times a day he knelt on his knees and prayed to God. I know what you're saying, but Pastor, Preacher, it's no way, no possible way that I can get on my knees three times a day. Well, could I help you with that? Whatever the posture of your body, your soul can be on its knees. You can be on your knees without getting down physically. Some of us can't do that. If we get down, we can't get back up. And that's a problem. So whether you're horizontal, whether you're lying down, sitting down, or kneeling down, you can talk to God. His ear is open, whatever position physically we're in. So let me encourage you to remember that. But the greatest of all prayer warriors in the Bible is Jesus Christ. The best way to become a prayer warrior, don't miss this, is to follow the pattern of our Lord's prayer life. I promise you, if you follow his pattern of prayer, you will become a prayer warrior, and it will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize your life. I noticed in the first, and I just have about 40 of these. I don't know how many we'll get through, but we'll get as many as we possibly can. Number one, Jesus prayed early in the morning. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, follow me now, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. While before day, a great while before day. The psalmist said in Psalm 5 in verse 3, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. The poet said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. And then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn through many a troubled way. If you want him, you must meet him in the morning if you want him through the day. There's just something about an early morning prayer time. And by the way, you ought to have a place and a time. If you don't have a place and a time, you're not likely to do it. Have a place before the wires of your life are lifted off the ground, before you become involved in a thousand other things. You need to talk to God. You need to ask for direction for the day. You need to give him thanks for, you know, we take so much for granted. We get up, we're breathing, we're walking, we're talking, we're reasoning, we're eating, we're doing 100 things, and never stop to thank God for those things we too often take for granted. Don't let it happen. Be a prayer warrior. Follow the pattern. I know what you'll say, but Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, I know, but he was also the Son of Man. Just as much God as though he had never become man, just as much man as though he had never been God. He was human. Remember, he got tired. He got thirsty. He got weary. He slept. So he was a man as well as God. Listen, if you start your day without talking to the day star, I can tell you that chaos, confusion, and conflict will characterize your day all day long. Without prayer, your spiritual vision is impaired, out of focus. Your moral equilibrium will be out of balance. I remember a few years ago in another house that we were living in before we were living in this house, and this has been, we've been in this house for about 38 years, but it's the other house we were in. We were having some remodeling done in the living room and the bedroom and the kitchen and in my study. So two men, after they had done what they were going to do in these other rooms, they entered my study. My wife was in earshot. She heard everything they said. One of them said to the other, you know, there's a strange feeling in this room. My wife overheard. By the way, what you overhear is far more interesting than what you hear. She overheard that, and she stepped in and she said, gentlemen, let me tell you why there's a strange feeling in this room. This is where my husband meets with God every morning at 4:30. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. Now, I'm not suggesting you get up at 4:30. You may not be able to get up till 10:30. I don't know. But I'm telling you, the quietness of the morning, beginning the day, talking to God, seeking his will, his way, listening to what he's got. Listen, it's a two-way street, by the way. It's a communication in both directions. You talk to God, God talks to you. Now, don't wait for an audible voice for God to speak to you and say, John or Jack or whatever. That's not going to happen, but he can impress your heart and mind and soul to the Word. That's where he speaks. And by the way, the Word's complete. There won't be anything added to it. It's complete. And he directs your heart and your mind to a passage of Scripture. Jesus prayed early in the morning. Secondly, Jesus prayed all night. I would not ask you this morning to show a hand, but I wonder how many of us have ever prayed all night long. Some of you have danced all night long. Hello. You've been singing all night long. You've been out corralling around all night long. But did you ever pray all night long. Now, don't look at me like I'm just making all this up. I know people. I've been studying people for 70 years. I know what you do. Now, I don't mean you folks are doing those things now, but there may have been a time when some of you did some of them. Hello. But you've been changed because Jesus came in. He gave you something better to dance about than what you were dancing about, or to sing about what you were singing about used to. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued, follow me, all night to God in prayer. Remember, he was a second person of the Trinity. He was God in the flesh. Remember we said just as much God as though he'd never become man? If the Son of God, God in the flesh, felt the need pressing upon him to pray and even to pray all night, surely we could find more time to pray than we do. You know, we sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, and we're content to talk to God about 3 minutes a day. That's a little bit hypocritical, wouldn't you say? You don't want me to teach anymore, do you? I'm enjoying this, and I hope you are too. This all-night prayer meeting was just before, follow me now, just before one of the most important decisions that Jesus would make during his entire ministry. It was just before he chose the 12. The 12 men that would follow him for 3 to 3.5 years. They would see him heal the sick. They would see him turn the water into wine. They would see him feed the multitudes, straighten up crooked limbs, open unstopped deaf ears and unloose dumb tongues and open blind eyes. They would witness all of this. So after he was gone, they would still be his witnesses. Having been with him for that time, they would carry on the gospel. Why do you think we have the gospel today? Those men, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, after they were empowered by God, they were brave enough to take the gospel to the Roman world, and it reached the ends of the Roman Empire and went all over Europe. Where did our ancestors come from? From Europe. And they brought the gospel to us. Isn't it an amazing thing? By the way, did you know you were on Jesus' prayer list? Now, we talk about being on pastor's prayer list or fellow Christian's prayer list or a member of the family's prayer, but to be on Jesus' prayer list. If you'll study John 17, the high priestly, mediatorial, intercessory prayer of Jesus, you'll learn that no less than twice in that chapter, he says, I pray for them. He said, I don't pray for the world. He said, I pray for them that have been given me. And twice he said that. So if he prayed for his apostles, his early disciples, I think he prays for us too. Isn't it wonderful to know we're on Jesus' prayer list? Now, our problem is this. We act and then we pray. We should pray and then act. You see, we act and then ask God to bless what we've done. However big a mess we've made of it, we want God to bless it. Let's pray and we'll stay out of that mess. I'm moving now to number 3. Jesus prayed in the wilderness. Luke 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself. That means he got away from the crowds. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You know, it's important many times when we can get alone with God. Nobody but you and God. Anything else is shut away, shut out. Just you and God. alone with God. The Bible says Jacob was left alone with God, and there wrestled with him a man all night long. The pre-incarnate Christ wrestled with him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get in a wrestling match. You know God's going to win it, so you just might as well give up to start with. Alone, he went to pray in the wilderness. Find you a place somewhere alone. How many days do I remember? Every Sunday that I can remember growing up in my dad's home, we were awakened by his prayer down in the basement. He had a place down there where he prayed. And he called out to God. You know, we just think that it's a terrible thing if a fella gets a little bit happy and calls out to God. But listen, my daddy, he got in touch with God. He had a place to pray, a place alone, nobody but him and God. We need to find that place in our lives. Jesus found it out there in the wilderness. Of course, there are times when we need others around us. Of course, we understand that. In fact, my next point, number four, tells us that Jesus prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took with him three of those apostles, Peter, James, and John. And when they, Luke chapter 9 will tell us that as he prayed, now follow me on this, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Things changed. They saw Jesus as they'd never seen him before. The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men who were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, that is his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, remember, these are two visitors from heaven. What were they talking about in heaven? The death of Jesus. What were they talking about when they got down to on the Mount of Transfiguration in the presence of Jesus? They were talking about his death. You see, it isn't his beautiful life that saves us. It isn't all the miracles that he performed that saved us, but his death. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. He paid the sin debt. He paid it in full. It was his death. His blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The death. They talked about his death. Peter and James and John. Now, have you ever thought, how did Peter, James, and John know that that was Moses and Elijah? They didn't announce themselves. Moses didn't say, here I am, I'm Moses. Elijah didn't say, here I am, I'm Elijah. Maybe they looked in their vest pocket and found a picture. No. There were no pictures of Moses and Elijah. God put it in their hearts. Somebody said, well, we know our loved ones in heaven. Well, this is certainly a good proof of it right here. They recognized Moses and Elijah, whom they had never seen. Don't you think we'll recognize our loved ones that we have seen? What would heaven be today without my precious mother, who died when I was 2 years old, with a prayer on her lips, dear God, call my sons into the ministry. By the way, out of my dad's ministry, there were 100 young men called to preach, four of whom were his sons. I'm so glad today that I'm here in answer to a mother's prayer. By the way, there were 12 Baptist preachers that had a part in her funeral. and six medical doctors were her pallbearers. She must have been a wonderful woman. Six children she left all behind. But I'm saying all that to say this, we'll certainly know our loved ones. If these three guys knew who Moses and Elijah were without any introduction at all, I could tell you we will know. I go now to number five. Jesus prayed in a certain unnamed place. Now, several of the places that he prayed were named, like we'll see it in the garden or the Mount of Transfiguration or on a mountain somewhere. But listen to this. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. Where was that place? We don't know. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, his disciples certainly didn't bother him while he was praying. But when he ceased praying, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Now they had been with Jesus all of these weeks and months. He was coming to the close of his life. And in all the times that they had been with Jesus and all the places they had followed him and all the things they had heard him say, they never asked him for one thing, not one other thing, except, Lord, teach us to pray. Not, Lord, teach us to sing, teach us to preach, teach us to visit, teach us to tithe. No, no, no. They didn't ask him any of that. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you know, if we learn how to pray and learn to pray, it's not so much as learning how, but it's learning to do it. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to have graduated from seminary as the Zimmermans did. You had students of mine from the mid-70s, good students. You don't have to have a degree in theology to pray. What about the thief on the cross? He didn't know anything, but just said, remember me. Remember me. That's a good prayer within itself. Lord, teach us to pray. A songwriter wrote, teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry. Day unto day, I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. That brings me to number six. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. There in the garden, it's been our privilege to visit the Holy Land several times. We've been into this Garden of Gethsemane. Knelt under what might have been the same olive tree. I've been told by those who are supposed to know that that olive trees don't die. You have to kill them. So those olive trees that are in the Garden of Gethsemane today may be in the very trees that were there when Jesus was there. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 2 and verse 44. And being in an agony. Notice that little and there. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Get that picture, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is so earnest, so sincere in his prayer to his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was facing death, by the way, when Jesus faced death, He didn't call his apostles together in a high-level cabinet meeting and say, what can we do? I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die. Can't we figure out something else? No, no, no. He faced death bravely, but he faced it as a man, being made in fashion as a man. Paul says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the cruelest death that could be had. You can't imagine that he's being beaten and battered and bruised until Isaiah says in his 52nd chapter that he couldn't be recognized as a man. He faced it. That word agony means a severe, intense state of emotional strain and anguish. He was in an agony, a state of emotional strain and anguish, intense and severe. Nothing like it, folks, nothing like it. But it was there that Jesus was crucified in his spirit. In a sense, he was already dead before he went to Calvary. In his spirit, he'd surrendered to God. He went to Calvary to die physically. I have time, I think, for one more, and I'll be through. Jesus prayed during his time on the cross. Luke 23 and verse 24. Just 10 words in his prayer on the cross. Emotional, filled words while he prayed for his enemies, those that were lashing him, those who were spitting on him, battering him, and bruising him, and causing him to bleed and suffer and die. He prayed this prayer, and you know it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. What an example. You want to be a prayer warrior? Follow the pattern that I've given you of the prayer life of Jesus, ending it out on the cross, praying for not friends, but enemies, those who hated him and despised him and mocked him and beat him and put a sword in his side and put spikes in his hands and in his feet and a crown of thorns on his head. So much suffering, so much anguish, and yet he prayed for his enemies. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Please don't miss it. To pray more like Jesus, we must learn to live more like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for your precious word. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus. We're thankful that he loved us. We're thankful that we're on his prayer list, that he prays for us. We're thankful that he gave himself unreservedly through the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross of Calvary, to the tomb that's empty today, because he was resurrected, raised from the dead, and lives on high, and will one day come back and receive us. Help us, dear Lord, to become prayer warriors. We know we can't do it perfectly. We know that you don't demand perfection, but we do believe we can strive for it, and we do believe that we can learn from Jesus. His pattern of prayer, we can learn how we ought to pray in the morning, through the day, in the night, under every circumstance, in everything. Paul said, in everything to give thanks, everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what your word says, and we believe it. And I pray that we would practice it, following the pattern of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, with thanksgiving. Amen.